Hopefully it's time for Brian Ross and Real News. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
I love the phone company.
Indeed.
All right. Well, today is Veterans Day, and it really dawned on me that this is the first time, what, in 20 years, our American troops are not involved in an active war.
That is absolutely true. There are, of course, people on point in the battle against various terrorist groups in Africa that continue to draw great attention from the U.S. military. But, yes, it's for the first time in so many years the country is not at war, although internally we seem to be far from peace.
Well, that's nothing further than the truth. And I want to go, because you are somebody that covers crime, I want to go to the trial that is going on with the young shooter who
Mr. Rittenhouse.
Came in. You watch this trial, and what are your feelings about what has transpired so far?
Well, I'm not moved by his emotion or his.
Are you there,
young
Ron?
Man who chose to drive up there to sort of become a vigilante, impose himself on all of this. I guess I have sympathy. It appears to me he's a very challenged individual, but he did kill two people and injure a third.
Well, that's one of the things I thought when I heard his teary testimony about how that one time he was surrounded by fear. Well, if you fear for your life the first time, then you go out and you end up shooting two more people at different locations. How fearful could you have been for your life? It's one of those things where I wasn't moved by it at all, and we'll see what happens when push comes to shove at the end of this. But I just can't see him not being convicted of this. It would be unbelievable to me.
I mean, the trial does not appear to be going well for the prosecution, and who knows what the jury's thinking. But we do have take a look at the trial also of the three men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery down in Georgia. A 22-year-old man jogging was tracked down and shot. They claim self-defense, just like Kyle Rittenhouse claimed self-defense. And this notion that we're an armed country and we have to defend ourselves, I mean, we have police, we have law enforcement for that. And if there's a failure there, that's the problem. But this self-defense argument often is persuasive to juries. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's and who knows what the ramifications come if these people get acquitted? Who knows what the ramifications will be for this country if these?
Yeah, we've seen cases like this, across the country, here in New York several decades ago. Bernard Goetz on the subway thought he had to defend himself. When you take the law into your own hands, there are risks to that, and there's an understanding if you're truly at some sort of your life is at stake here. Rittenhouse certainly seemed to have imposed himself on the situation and put himself at risk first. What was this teenager doing with that kind of weapon, and how does his parents even allow him to do this? It's a sad tale for sure, but as you say, I'm with you. I don't buy his theatrics.
We'll keep with something that deals with race. And at the age of 85, F.W. de Klerk, South Africa's, was the last leader of South Africa under apartheid, passed away at the age of 85.
Well, that was a horrible error, and he helped bring it to an end by releasing Mandela. In the end, I think he redeemed himself and his reputation.
Well, that's the whole thing, and a lot of people are saying that that's why he did it. I choose not to believe that he just finally realized that something had to be done. A person who internationally had just became an instant sensation when that happened, and Nelson Mandela, of course, then took over as president. And also, I think why I appreciate what he did is Nelson Mandela, after all those years in prison, finally achieved what he had been looking for his whole life.
And he did it without the kind of anger and resentment that you might imagine any of us would feel if, locked up unfairly for taking a position to defend the rights of man. And, I think, that's the great example of somebody who is a peaceful and yet forceful leader.
We'll go to the courts now. In Texas, a judge has ruled that the Texas school mask ban violates the American with Disabilities Act.
Right. It's sort of hard to keep track of all of the court actions for and against the mandates. For the most part, the courts have upheld the mandates imposed for public health reasons around the country. Other mandates have been challenged, and it's hard to know exactly how it's coming out. But at the highest levels, it seems that there is legal support for these mandates, despite what you might see on Fox News or the News Nation. I will note that the White House correspondent for the News Nation has now been under review, permanently suspended from Twitter because she tweeted that the vaccines contain some sort of secret microchip tracking substance.
Not only the tracking, a Satan tracking.
Exactly. Let's get it completely right.
We'll take the absurd to the ridiculous.
I tell you, and to the extent that there are people who buy into that, it's just it's a sad commentary on the nature of education in this country, and what some in the media will do to get people to watch them. And yes, we all know it's a commercial enterprise, and we all want as many listeners or viewers as possible, but come on.
As I've always said, if people are concerned about anything about being tracked, throw away your cell phone. Because guess what? The government can very easily track you on your cell phone. Anybody can very easily track you on your cell phone. Well,
right. And, of course, we also just a footnote there. Both Fox and these most conservative of the news outlets do have in their own business vaccine mandates.
Yeah. We'll go to a federal judge now who once again said that Donald Trump, she won't help him buy time in his argument to keep records secret during his presidency. That came a day after she ruled against Trump, basically saying that the House Select Committee can have those records. The judge quoting here, and I'll quote her exactly, he cannot do an end round, end quote, to her decisions to try to win the case by delay.
Right. Run out the clock has been the Trump legal strategy in so many cases, with the impeachment proceedings, other proceedings. He tries to delay to the point where it's no longer valid to keep pushing. Here the judge has called his bluff. And I have to say that this the House Select Committee has really turned up the heat on a number of Trump people with subpoenas and document requests. It'll be fascinating to find out what they actually learn. Which I hope at some point we as members of the American public will also learn.
All right, and we have to move to the economy because, here in Connecticut, we're going to receive a lot of money that's going to go to schools and also to infrastructure with the signing of this bill. The economy, though, inflation is running amok, which it hasn't done this bad for a long, long time, even though the stock market is up. This is something the Biden presidency has got about 6 months to solve as it heads towards midterm elections, because that just having so much inflation and the prices rising so high would be a terrible thing for Democrats to go in the midterm elections.
Right. Presidents don't control the price of gasoline.
Yeah.
But that's one of the real telling prices that we look at to mark inflation. And, a lot of money went into the economy. And a lot of people became solvent because of that or avoided poverty because of that. Too much money chasing too few goods because of the pandemic will create inflation. And I think it's hard to understand how this can be turned around so quickly. One way they do it, of course, is to raise interest rates. But that sets off its own chase there. So it's an issue that seems like, in this case, the Biden administration did not fully anticipate or really in some ways come clean about. They kept saying this would be temporary. It looked to be a little bit more than temporary at this point.
Well, a lot to see and do, and of course we recognize today Veterans Day throughout this country, and as we said at the beginning, the first time in 20 years that our armed fighters are not fighting a war in the United States' longest war, and we take time to recognize all the veterans, and not only the veterans, but the people that still serve today.
Right, and the families who also serve, because when their loved ones go off to war, they make their own commitment. We thank all of them for their service, and it's nice to know we're not at war on this day. It really is. I'm sure they appreciate that as well.
All right, Brian, we will check with you next week.
Okay, thanks, Marshall.
Good talking to you as always. Bye-bye. Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can always find his commentary at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.